And if you're at church, you certainly ought to have a Bible. You know how them lying preachers are.
Amen.
Amen. If you'd open it to Job chapter 31. Job chapter 31. Now in Job chapter 31, Job is defending himself to God. He's talking about what a righteous fellow he is and what a good man he's been. And by worldly standards, Job is telling the absolute truth. The problem is he compared himself to the wrong person. He compared himself to his contemporaries instead of to God. And you can compare yourself to people and come out looking pretty good most of the time, especially if you just search around to find the right person to compare yourself against. Amen? When I'm comparing, I always find me somebody more wicked than myself. But if you compare yourself to God, you come out a loser every single time. Anyway, so Job's just waxing eloquent. We'll start there, and oh, any place is good. Let's start in verse 16. If I have withheld the poor from the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof, for for from my youth he was brought up with me as with a father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not endure. If I have made gold my hope, or if I have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoiced because my wealth was great, and because mine hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined, or the moon walking in brightness, if my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth hath kissed my hand, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the judge, for I should have denied the God that is above. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him, neither have I suffered my mouth to sin by wishing a curse to his soul. He's a lot better man than I am. Amen. And if you just listen to what I read, he's a lot better man than you are. Verse 31, if the men of my tabernacle said not, oh, that we had his flesh, we cannot be satisfied. The stranger did not lodge in the street, but I opened my doors to the traveler. If I have covered my transgression as Adam, by hiding my iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of families terrify me, that I kept silence and went not out of the door? Now let's pray there. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty, grace to preach, power to preach, wisdom to preach. I pray that you would help us this morning, enable us and empower us. Lord, I pray that you would help the hearer, open their ear, remove every obstacle, open their eyes, make everyone see. And may the truth of God sink down deep into our soul. May our hearts be touched and our lives changed. And we'll thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Job was waxing eloquent, was he not? And the truth is, Job tried to live a good life. He tried to be all the things he just said. But that can't justify you with God. Now, we could preach on that for a while, but I really just want to borrow a phrase out of verse 32. If you look down there, there's a colon. Now, a colon indicates a new thought, a new emphasis. And after the colon, it said, but I opened my doors to the traveler. And I just want to kind of use that as a pretext this morning for this thought. Doors. The door. We're always thinking about doors. We use that word all kind of ways in all kind of situations in our life. We'll say, you know, if I just had a door of opportunity, if somebody would just give me an open door to do this, that, or the other, I could succeed, or I could be this, or I could be that. And what we're talking about an entrance or an opportunity to do a thing. We call it a door, an opening. Just give us a shot, and we'll take it. And if we could get that door, if we could get that shot, then I could do this, or I could do that, or I could be this, or I could be that. We whine and complain because we never had an open door. We never got a shot at it. Job said he opened his door. I just got to thinking about it because the door comes up a lot in the Bible. There are all kind of doors in the Bible, some good, some not so good, and some just downright bad. And I thought if you would sit there for just a few minutes, I would share from my heart what I found concerning doors. Of course, the most famous door and the most important door and the door that cannot be missed is Jesus Christ, who said, "I am the door to the sheepfold." And so we must keep in mind that if there's any door in life that you seek, if there's any door that you look for, if there's any door you cannot afford to miss, it's Jesus Christ. He's the door. If you miss that one, you missed it all. It's like over there when Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the men of Sodom came in to take the angels, and God smote them with blindness, and it said, and they wearied themselves to find the door. Kind of reminds you of the world today. They're looking for a door for happiness. They're looking for a door that leads to contentment. They're looking for a door that leads to peace and joy. But they weary themselves to find the door. They are blinded, and they think all the wrong things are the door to what they're looking for. And they miss the one door that truly leads there. Matter of fact, they scoff at that door. They reject that door. They belittle that door. So I want to talk to you for just a very few minutes, and we'll go have a nice Sunday lunch. If you like Chinese, it'll be great. Amen. I want to talk to you about doors. I have several here. Number one, the first door that you have to be aware of and leery of and miss and dodge and shun is the door to sin. In Genesis chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible said, "Sin lieth at the door." And buddy, I'm here to tell you, you can find sin through a door. Door to a cheap motel. Door to a cheap bar, door to a cheap dope den, door to a house of prostitution. You can find sin. You walk through the door and you walk into a world of sin and iniquity that will ruin your life and defile your body and scar your conscience and ruin you and shame you for all time and all eternity. Say, how'd you get there? They just walked right through the door. You can ride up and down the highways of our town and our county and our state, and there's doors that you can walk through that will ruin your life. You say, what's on the other side of that door? Sin. Now the world sees it, they say, on the other side of that door is a good time. On the other side of that door is fun. On the other side of that door is satisfaction. On the other side of that door is everything that's good and pleasant. Why, I walk through this door and I can sit and drink with my friends and we'll have a good time. I walk through that door and I can dance to the music on the jukebox and have a good time. I walk through that door and there are loose women there and there are double-timing, cheating men in there, and we can get together and we'll have a good time and we'll enjoy ourselves and gratify ourselves and satisfy ourselves. And you walk through the door into the little back room and they're snorting the coke off the table and shooting it in their vein and puffing it into their lung, and they say, boy, through this door is freedom, through this door is mind expanding, through this door is liberty. And every one of those doors leads to sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. There's no real joy. There's no lasting peace. There's no permanent satisfaction behind those doors. You know how I know that? Because you got to keep walking back through that door day after day and month after month and year after year to maintain that satisfaction. They used to say in Lucky Strikes, Lucky Strikes satisfy. No, they don't. I know that because they have to put 20 in every pack. And they had to put 10 packs in every carton, and every week you go buy a new carton. If they really satisfied, you could smoke one and be done with it. See? If it really satisfied, all you need is one, and you'd be fixed. It's a lie. See, sin is deceptive. Sin lies to you. It makes you think one thing is so when it's an honest goodness. The truth is, it's just a lie. But you walk through that door of sin. And boy, I tell you what, our nation is not walking through anymore. They are running through. We are promoting today every form of abomination and sin and iniquity and hateful and evil and ugly and ungodly thing that you can possibly imagine. The more defiled it is, the more depraved it is, the more popular it becomes. The only person in the world these days that needs to be shot or executed or imprisoned are you fundamental Bible-believing people who are so narrow-minded, who want to take away all the joy and all the liberty. You want to put handcuffs on everybody and confine them to your narrow, unsatisfying way of life. I only had to get saved one time, and it's been satisfying now for 34 years. I smoked pell-mell reds from the time I was 13 until I got saved, and for a while after I got saved, and they never satisfied. I had to keep doing it over and over. I only had to get saved one time. Amen. Buddy, you walk through that door of sin, you walk through a door of heartache, you walk through a door of shame, you walk through a door of degradation. I tell you what, when you walk through that door of sin, and I don't care what sin it is, if it's alcohol or dope or promiscuity or whatever it is, when you walk through that door, you start on a downward trek that will end you up in hell. It'll end you up shamed and diseased and dirty with a defiled conscience and no peace and no joy. Say, how'd you get there? You had to walk through that door. Listen, if that door is closed in your life, in God's name, don't open it. Don't open it. Then there's a hidden door. In Genesis chapter 19, verse 11, it said, so the men of Sodom, God smote them with blindness so that they wearied themselves to find the door. Now, there was a door there, but they couldn't find it. They were looking for it, but they couldn't find it. It was right there the whole time. They said, well, there ain't no door. We can't find it. There is a door. You know, just because you get in a dark room, close all the doors, and say, there is no sun, don't mean it ain't shining out there. It's still there. And Lot and those angels went through that door. It was there. But the men of Sodom were blind. And they were searching for it, and they couldn't find it. And they just wore themselves out. They wearied themselves to find the door. They're about to come to the conclusion there is no door. But there was a door. It was just a hidden door. You say, well, who's the hidden door? Jesus Christ is the hidden door. Say, why is he hidden? Because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. See? Jesus said, I am the door. And he said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I'll come in, I'll sup with him, and he with me. See, there's a door. But they can't find it because they're spiritually blind. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them, for they are spiritually discerned. And so the world has wearied themselves looking for the door. They're trying to find it. They're looking for it, but they're looking down at the bar room and the cat house and the dope den and the pleasure palaces of the world. They're looking in all the wrong places, and they said, there is no door, there is no door. Then they go nuts, and they end up down there at the shrink and in the insane asylum. Amen? Hollering, there is no door, there is no door, but there is a door. They tell a story about Hank Williams when he died back there in 1950, two or whatever it was. He was in the back seat of a Cadillac automobile, had his head laying in the lap of Minnie Pearl, which he shouldn't ought to have been doing. Minnie Pearl wasn't married, and Hank Williams was. Amen? You ought never get that close to another woman you married. Amen. But anyway, he was laying in the back seat of that car. He wrote a song called "I Saw the Light." I saw the light, boys, the number one hit. Everybody in the whole country heard that song. They say when Hank Williams lay there in the back seat of that car, he was overdosed on heroin. He had become a dope addict. He couldn't keep up the pace with his lifestyle. And he was laying back there in a doped up stupor. And just before he died with his head in Minnie Pearl's lap in the back of a Cadillac automobile going to a performance. He looked up, and the last words out of Hank Williams' mouth was, he looked up and he looked her in the face and he said, "There is no damn light." And he died, and he went to hell. But he was wrong. There is a light. There is a door. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and he's the door to the sheepfold. Now, you can't find him because they're spiritually blind. The devil's hidden him from you. But I'm here to declare to you there is a door, and if you want to find it, we can show you where it's at. Amen. We take you by the hand and lead you down there where the door's at. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to miss the door to happiness. You don't have to miss the door to glory. Because it's hidden, don't mean it ain't there. You ever watch them spooky movies? I love them things. I don't watch them because my wife don't like them. Now, I like for her to watch them because she gets scared and wants to snuggle in the middle of the night. Amen. But I can't get her to watch them. But I like them. But in all them spooky movies, there's a secret passage someplace. You ever notice that? You get in there and the guy can disappear. He walks over to a wall and presses this or pushes that or flicks some little thing. And there's a passageway to get out. And he walks through and the door goes. And now you can't find it again. It's a secret door. It's a hidden door. But it's there. See, just because you don't know it's there, dummy, don't mean it ain't there. Jesus Christ is there. He is real. He sits up in glory, and he's ready and willing to save anybody that will come if they'll just open the door. There's a door of deliverance. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 19, the Bible said, "And the angel opened the door of the prison." Down there at the jailhouse, they had all the doors locked. Couldn't nobody get out. Of course, couldn't nobody get in either. I mean, you got to unlock the door either way. Okay, how you do that? You ever think about that? They not only can't get out, you can't get in. That door's locked. Somebody got to lock that door and open it for anybody to go either way. And so they had old Peter and them down there locked up in the jailhouse. And the saints are down there praying and praying and praying. And the door of the prison was locked. You know what happened? God reached down there with a long finger from glory and unlocked the door and let it swing open. See why? So that fella could get out of there. So he'd have a place of deliverance. So he could get out from his torment. Now listen, you may be here this morning and you may be hooked. You may be locked up and bound in prison. They may have you in solitary confinement, separated from the general population. You may be a dope head here this morning. You may have stuff flowing through your veins, and you say, "Oh, preacher, I can't live without it. I got to have it. I got hooked on it, and I just, when I get to a certain point," he said, I fight it, but it overcomes me, and there's nothing I can do about it, and I got to have it. Maybe you're hooked on cigarettes, or booze, or dope. Maybe you have a sexual addiction. I don't care what your addiction is. I'm here to tell you there is a door of deliverance. Say, who's that? Jesus Christ is the door of deliverance. He came to set the captive free. Amen? I mean, Martin Luther King got up there, you know, an ignorant fool. And they ought to have arrested him for plagiarism, by the way. His doctrinal thesis he stole. Amen. But he got up there and he said, "Free at last! Free at last! Thank God I'm free at last!" He wasn't free. He wasn't free. The night before he got shot, he slept with three women. Three women. And somebody told him, he said, "Martin," he said, "you're going to get in trouble with the people doing this. Somebody's going to find out." He said, "You cannot take my strength away from me." He wasn't free. He was addicted. Amen. He was in prison. He was bound. They say the Reverend Martin Luther King, there wasn't nothing reverend about him. Amen. He was in bondage. Us Christians have been set free. Been set free. Listen, I'm the one who can say, thank God I'm free. I'm free. Thank God I'm free at last. Buddy, I was 27 years old, and God Almighty broke the bounds of my shackle and set me free. He opened the doors of the prison and let the prisoner escape. The Bible said, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Buddy, I walked through that prison door one day back in 1972, and when I came out of there, I was a free man. You need to be freed. You're in jail. Something's got you hooked and you can't get away from it. Let me tell you where you can find deliverance. There's a door you can walk through that will set you free. The door is Jesus Christ. Yeah, I see these things all the time. I say, Christ is the answer. Now, I don't know exactly what they mean by that because it's not a correct quotation. But I understand what they're trying to say, I guess. But the truth is, Jesus is the Christ, solution. He is the answer for all your sin problems. Amen? I guarantee if you've got one of them, He can fix that thing. There's no sin that you're in that He can't fix. But you've got to come to Him. Going down there to that psychiatrist and that sociologist and all them other fellas ain't going to do you a dime's worth of good. What you need to do is come to the feet of the one who died to set you free and walk through that door of deliverance and let Jesus Christ make you a free man. See, how do you do that? Well, Acts chapter 14, verse 27, the Bible said this. He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. There's a door of faith, and you need to walk through that thing. It's a dispensational door. We're in the age of grace. And God's done a great work and performed a great effectual. And there is today an open door of grace to God. You don't have to keep the law. You don't have to keep the commandments. You don't have to live above all sin. I was listening to a song the other day, and one of the lines in it said, and if we have lived above all sin, I thought, oh, there I go. I ain't going to make it. I ain't going to get it. Me and Lewis both going to go to hell because we ain't lived above all sin. Amen? Only my wife done that. Excuse me, I need a little drink here. Well, that's good. Did I ever tell y'all the story about the two brothers? One of them was a country preacher and the other one was a city preacher. And one Sunday, the country preacher invited his city brother to come out to his church and preach for him. And so the city brother got out there. I looked around, it was a nice little old church, had a nice little congregation. And before the service, the country brother got his city brother up there behind the pulpit, and there's two glasses there. Look like both of them have water in it. And he said, now, brother, he said, this jar here is for your thirst. He said, and this little jar right here is for courage. He said, you just help yourself. So the service started and they sang some songs and finally came time to preach, and the city boy was kind of nervous in front of all them country people. He didn't know if they was going to be able to comprehend all his technical language and his education and stuff. And so he preached a second or two and his throat was scratchy and he got him a little drink of that water. And he preached a second or two and his throat got dry and scratchy again. So this time he reached down and got him a little drink of that courage. And boy, that kind of did the trick. And he preached a while. And he drank some more courage. And he preached a while. And he drank some more courage. And he preached 2 hours and 20 minutes. And finally, when he got through and everybody was going out, he's standing back there shaking everybody's hand. And everybody was telling him what a great message he was, what a powerful preacher he was. And all this, that, and the other. And finally, everybody left. And it was just the two brothers standing there. And the city brother said to his country brother, he said, well, brother, he said, how'd I do? The brother, country brother said, brother, he said, you done good. He said, just one thing. He said, I want you to know, David killed Goliath with a slingshot. He said, he didn't beat hell out of him. Where was I at in this thing? I don't know why I told that joke. Acts 14, 27. There's a door, faith. Jesus Christ opened that door, and it's there today, and you can walk through it. People say, well, how can I be delivered? How can I be set free? How can I get victory over my sin? How can I close that ugly door and close that ugly chapter in my life? I'm here to tell you, you've got to walk through the door of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? When you exercise faith in Jesus Christ, when you call those things that are not as though they were, God takes that faith and honors it and puts you into the family of God Almighty. Amen? People say, now people get all mixed up sometimes. They say, well, all you got to do is believe. All you got to do is believe. Well, you have to believe unto salvation. So what does that mean? That means you got to repent of your sin and repent of your unbelief and turn and receive Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, listen, the devil believes also and trembles. If all it took was just believing, like some of the super aggressive soul winning churches want you to think, the devil would be a saved man. But that's just not so. Amen? You got to believe to the point that it turns you around and makes you live different. And you got to have a change of mind about God and Christ, but you got to have a change of mind about your life and about your sin. They come together. Godly sorrow worketh repentance not to be repented of. There's a door of faith. When you receive Jesus Christ by faith, you say, oh, well, I never saw him, and I never heard him, and I didn't feel him, and I made a profession of faith, and I didn't feel anything. It wasn't like I stuck my finger in the wall socket and all this. All that's not necessary. The truth is that salvation is a legal transaction. Amen? Jesus Christ bought you, and when God the Holy Spirit does a work in your heart, when you receive Christ, the Holy Spirit seals you and washes you clean, and the Son stands before the Father and owns you as His own. And He says the penalty has been paid. And God accepts the payment of Jesus Christ. It got nothing to do with you. The only thing you got to do is believe and receive. Amen? Anybody can get saved if they believe. I'm talking about in the heart now. If they believe that Jesus is the Christ and that God has raised him from the dead. If you walk through that door of faith, God will save your soul. Now don't just believe in the name of Jesus. Believe unto repentance. Believe with godly sorrow. Not only is there a door of faith, the door is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10 and verse 9, Jesus declared, I am the door. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what the news media is trying to make you think, and I don't care what some of them radio preachers trying to make you think. It just makes me sick that we got so many, quote, fundamental Christians that are embracing these other religions as an alternative. There ain't no alternative. Jesus Christ said, there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. On the authority of the Word of God's Son Himself, if you're not in Christ, you're dead without God, without hope, and you will perish forever in a place called hell. You're not going to Valhalla, and you're not going to get 40 virgins, and none of that. You're going to burn in hell like a worm in a frying pan. That's where you're going. And all this stuff of evangelicals compromising and letting down the standards so that Allah is equal with God the Father, that's just an abomination. And Christians have adopted, you know, say, well, now, preacher, you know, they're sincere about what they believe as you are. Well, I don't care. I'm commissioned in here to tell the world about Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, Christ is the door. John chapter 10 and verse 9, He's the door. If any man will enter, any man. People say, well, he only died for the elect, not according to Jesus. If any man enter, whosoever will. You see all those terms that are all-inclusive? It's not he died for the elect and everybody else predestined to hell. They ain't a Presbyterian bone in my body. You're talking about an abomination? That's an abomination. To think that God sent his only begotten Son into this world to shed his blood and condemn people who were not born and people who were yet to be born and consign them to hell before they ever took their first breath. No matter how good they lived, no matter how hard they tried, no matter how they wanted it, if they were predestined to hell, they're going to go to hell. I don't believe that for a second. Amen. That Bible said, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. All you that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. I'll give you rest. My burden is easy and my yoke is light. Then you shall find rest unto your soul. He that hath the Son. Buddy, there's no exclusion in that. That means every man, woman, boy, and girl, every Muslim, every Hindu, every Presbyterian you ever met in your life needs to come to Jesus Christ and get saved by God's amazing grace. They need to walk through the door of faith and receive Him. Salvation is in a person. You know what Jonah said over there? He said, for salvation is of the Lord. It ain't the Baptist church. It's in Jesus Christ. But if I ever point you anywhere else or try to make you think anything else other than that you've got to trust Him and walk with Him and live for Him and adore Him and love Him, then you get up and walk out. This church is apostate. Amen. I want to preach Christ. I want Him exalted. I want Him lifted up. I want Him on high. And I want everybody in this building to love Him and adore Him. If you never see me, if you never recognize my face, if I never make an impression, if all I ever do is point you to Jesus Christ, I will be the happiest man that ever drew a breath. Whoa. That's only the introduction. I have 6 points in the message. We're probably not going to get there. I'm going to have to skip some of this stuff. There's a guarded door and a kept door and a door of service. That door of service is physical. That door of service is spiritual. Then there's the open door. Revelation 3:8, and he said, I've set an open door before thee. It's the door of salvation. The door of service is open. Anybody that wants in can get in. Amen. You haven't done anything that God can't forgive. Amen. You may have done things you're going to have to pay for the rest of your life in the flesh. There's some things you can't get fixed up. There's some things you can't erase once you've done them. You're just going to have to live with the consequence. But the guilt of it, and the condemnation of it is taken care of in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, so there's an open door, and then there was a dreaded door. That's found in Job chapter 38 and verse 17. If you'll turn over there and look at that for a minute, Job chapter 38, verse 17. Let's start in 16 to get the context. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in the search of the depth? Have the gates of death been opened unto thee, or hast thou seen the doors of the shadow of death? There's a door we all dread. It's a shadowy door. It's almost a mystical door. The world has, almost everybody you talk to has an opinion about that door. There's almost as many opinions about that door of the shadow of death as there are people. But that door is real. And the reason it's shadow, you ever watch certain things, the sun goes down or maybe the sun's coming up just at a low angle and the shadows are long and dark. And sometimes things that are real and substantial take on weird and strange or even grotesque appearances. And you think when you see it, because you're looking at the shadow, which is deformed by the angle of the sun, you think, oh, I just saw a so-and-so. But when you get there, it's not that at all. It's some little old mundane thing that's totally unimpressive. But the door to death is shadowy because it's hidden in such mystery and such fear. And men have tried to examine it from a rational point of view and from a physical point of view. And we've almost mystified the door of death so that it is a terror. And when we think about death and passing over, It's a cold, a dark, a damp kind of a thing. And we look at it and we look into it with fear and dread. Now, I've seen people say, "Well, I'm not afraid to die." That's because you ain't close to it. Let me tell you, when you hear that unexpected tapping on the door, you'll be afraid. Amen? I guarantee it. You're not going to look forward to it. Now, there are some people who have had time to get ready to die, some folks who are saved by God's grace and who are in such pain and agony, or they are so old and life is, the quality of life is so poor and so diminished that they do in fact look forward to the transition. But as a general rule, us healthy folks, us folks who are still up and about, and us folks who can still go and do, if death stared you in the face this afternoon, you'd be in a panic. Amen? I guarantee you'd just be really upset. Say, why? Well, you say, "Oh, I'm saved, sealed, and sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I know if I die today, I go home and go." I know that too. And I know that it's a peaceful transition, and God's not going to let anything happen. Amen? But it's just something about it. I ain't never been there before. I ain't never seen it before. And while I believe it with all my heart, it kind of intimidates me. Amen? I'll tell you what, I can stand by your bedside when you're going out of this old world. I can stand by the bedside of your loved ones when they're leaving, and I can comfort them, and I can say, "You're precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of his saints." Now, I don't know where all them verses at, you know. I've read them all. I sit there and hold your hand and say, "Now, brother, you know she's going to be better off. Her old body won't hurt, and she won't suffer anymore. I know you're going to miss her, and it's okay to cry, but you and I both know she's better off." And all that's true. Hey, we don't do a thing to help it when it's your turn. I don't have a problem with it because it ain't me and it ain't mine. Amen? Oh, you call me when you die and I comfort. I don't know who in the world I'm going to call when I'm a dying. Because I know all their tricks. And I know all that stuff they say. And I just can't imagine it's going to help me a whole lot. The door of the shadow of death. The problem is you're going to walk through that door where you want to. Now, some of these doors you can walk through if you choose. Some you can ignore if you choose. But saved or lost, want it or don't want it, believe it or don't believe it, like it or don't like it, you're going to walk through the door of the shadow of death one of these days. You're going to die. That Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You ain't going to live forever. You say, "Well, I'm going to live like I want to, but when it comes time for me to die, I'm going to get right and get everything straightened up." You're too dumb. You're too dumb for words. You know, at least half the people that die unexpectedly. And they don't have time to pray and get nothing right. They just drop dead. They get killed in a plane crash or a car wreck, or they have a massive stroke, and they never utter one word. You know what they do? They go out of this world without God and without Christ, and they go to a Christless grave with godless eternity, and they burn in hell forever. You don't know whether you get a chance or not. You do know you're going to die. You don't know where, when, or how. I tell you what you better do. You better walk through that desired door. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, the Bible said, "And there was a door opened in heaven." There's a door. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not have to die and go to hell. Now listen to me. You don't have to live in bondage to your sin. There's a door of deliverance. There's a way out. You don't have to live hooked to the things that have captured your mind and your body. You don't have to live that way. He came to set the captive free. There's liberty. Amen. There's freedom. God will open the prison doors and set you free. There's a door of deliverance. And it's through the door of faith. And it keeps you and gives you peace when you walk through the door of the shadow of death. It's a desired door. And there was a door opened in heaven. That door is open today. That door is Jesus Christ. Everything I've talked about this morning, everything I preached, everything I believe with all of my heart and all of my soul, it hinges on you seeing that Jesus Christ is the door. He can deliver you from your guilt. He can deliver you from your shame. He can deliver you from your addiction. He can set you free from sin. He can make you a brand new creature. Now, we're getting ready to dismiss, and we're going to leave. I want all y'all to look back there. You know what's right over here? There's a door. And you know what's right here? There's a door. And right here, there's a door. And to get out of this room, to go home, to eat your dinner, to spend the afternoon with your family, to take your Sunday afternoon nap, I tell you what, everyone, every person in this room, to get out of this room, to walk through that door. You're going to walk through it whether you want to or not. And one of these days, you're going to walk through the door of death. You could choose the door, Jesus Christ, today. It's entirely up to you. The door is there. It's available. Change your life. Make you a brand new man, brand new woman. But just like getting out of this room, you can't get there. You can't get that peace. You can't get that joy. You can't get that victory by going through that door. Goodbye. Miss Jordan, why don't you come play this morning? Sister Jordan's going to play just as I am.